know what I don't have? I don't have the numbers. It's a 191. You there yet? Lamentations is hard. I hit him with what was it we did? Was it Micah? I hit him with Micah on Friday, and we had Aaliyah. Aaliyah came and visited us. I hit them with Micah, and everybody just kind of went, ugh, and you could tell she was kind of looking over at everybody else, and oh no. To see where everybody else was, and everybody else was still turning. I'm like, oh no, probably shouldn't do Micah so early in the morning before our coffee's hit. But Lamentations, and then grab your hymn books. I want you to turn up to hymn number 191. Hymn 191. Let's stand together. We're going to do all four verses of Count Your Blessings. Hymn 191. Chapter 3 and verse 21 says this, Lamentations 3:21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, how desperately we need you. Father, not just for your salvation, which, Lord, would have been plenteous. It would have been more than enough. It would have been all that we needed. But, Lord, your blessings you pour out on us every day. Father, health, strength. And, Lord, maybe not perfect health and maybe not perfect strength, but strength enough and health enough. And, Lord, you give us our portion, our daily bread. You give us warm shelter and security. You give us blessings on top of blessings. And, Lord, today we praise you for it. Father, today we come before you humbly, Lord, grateful for the daily care you put upon our lives. Lord, it would have been enough, Lord, to just save us and bring us home. But Lord, you let us live here. You let us grow stronger. You let us help. You let us serve. But Lord, the benefits you daily load us up with, we are so grateful. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, you would not suspect to find such cheery summation in a book called Lamentations, but that's where it is. You see, rejoicing and pain for a Christian often goes hand in hand, where we find joy in things. And in this song that we sing, count your blessings, and we go back to this first verse here that we began with, verse 21, and it says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Maybe the reason why we struggle as much as we do is because we've got a little bit of a memory problem. We forget the things we have. Oh, and this is a good time to talk about it. Why? Everybody's in the stores. Everybody's walking around. I wish we had that. I wish we had this. Is that not what we ask of each other? Hey, you got a list going. Will you share your list for me? And then you're forced to sit down and think about all the things you don't have, but you wish you had. And some of us, we sit there and we go, I don't know. I get a little nose hair trimmer. I don't know. We think too hard. We look too hard on the things we do not have. And we forget the blessings of what we do have. Now, that's not to say that there is not struggling. That is not to say that there is not great pain. Of course there is. This is a terrible place to live, the planet Earth. Bad things happen every day, and we cannot forget that when bad things happen, they're happening to people. People we like, sometimes even us. It happens. But we cannot neglect what good we have. We lose our hope when we forget about what we have. So what does the song say? Count your blessings. What does verse 21 say? This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. My friends, I beg of you today, if you're having issues with your worship, I ask you to count your blessings. We have talked about salvation. We have talked about hope. We have talked about so many things for why we should worship God. Today we look at the daily, everyday blessings God has put in your life. We must count our blessings. And when I say count your blessings, I don't mean it's a cute saying. I actually mean every now and then you ought to pull out a piece of paper. You ought to pull out a piece of paper and be honest. Well, everybody's breathing. Yeah, but you're breathing. You ought to be glad for it. People look around. We saw this in the store. We saw a television probably about the size of my wall. You ever see those things? You almost sit there, you start to think, I'd probably get a neck ache if I had something like that. I'd be too busy going like this the whole time, just trying to figure out. This person's talking, that person's talking. This ow, hey. You ever drive by homes with a television that big? I have. You drive by their window and all you see on the inside is this giant television on the inside. And the people on the screen are bigger than people in real life. lot of people, they look at that and they go, ooh, I need one of those. Remember back 2020, they were giving out all that money? And what did Walmart do? They lowered the price of those size television sets to exactly the amount of money that people were getting from the government. Clever. Why? Because they want you to go through, they want you to say, ooh, what I have isn't enough. I need more. Now, there's nothing wrong with building, but there's something wrong with an attitude that's always thinking about what they don't have instead of being glad for what they do have. Glad for what they do have. If you've got a 90-inch wall, you do not need an 89-inch TV. I don't know if they sell them that big, but now you got a big old wall, you go ahead. But man, I've seen some people where it's the whole wall. Mercy, we must think about what we have. Look, even down to how we enjoy things. How many people, when they're going through the holidays, there's people in their lives they don't want to go see. Why? Because politics. How much do you think that's happened this year? Politics, or because somebody's nana brought the green bean casserole when somebody's auntie always brings the green bean casserole, and now the family can't look at each other. You know what we ought to do? We ought to stop thinking about the stuff that we want and how we want it to go. We need to be grateful for what we have. Be grateful you got family together. Be grateful you can see each other. Be grateful that there are people there that you can be mad at. Somebody told me that when I was a kid. You grateful for your brother? No, I'm mad at him. Why aren't you glad to have somebody you can be mad at? Mom asked me, what'd you learn today? It was my aunt that took us to her church when we were down there with her in Ohio. She goes, what'd you learn today in church? I learned that I should be glad to be mad at my brother. Be glad you got somebody you can be mad at. There's people out there probably living on the street right now. They ain't got nobody. Well, every time we get together, we fuss at each other. I can't stand them. You know, at least they're there for you to not stand. There's people out there right now. They ain't got nobody. Go ahead and do. Isn't that nice? Oh, sorry. I caused somebody to cough. My bad. It's that season. But think about that. For those of you who do not have a cough, who just a week ago had a cough, isn't it nice? You don't think about breathing until your nose is plugged up. You don't think about how easily you're able to breathe until you're on some kind of assistance, right? Until they intubate you, you really don't think about how great it is to breathe on your own. Until the doctor walks into your room and says, we're going to take the tube out tomorrow, and either you breathe on your own or you won't. You don't realize how much of a blessing it is. And we neglect it. We count it as just a regular thing. We think of the great things that we have too. Brother Mark's devotion this morning, just talking about how long this church has been here. What a wonderful thing. Have you guys had the same pews the whole time? No. So at one particular point, you could buy new pews. That's nice. Some churches out there, They're out there, hey, listen, we need pews. And other churches, they give their old pews away. That means if somebody had two sets of pews where one person had no pews, they mix them up. What a blessing. We're sitting there, we're talking about, I'm already thinking and praying and planning for the conference. Don't get scared. Every time I say conference, you just see some people go, be scared. Think about the conference, praying for it. That's a nice setup we got back there. I was talking to a brother. At the conference down there in Covenant, and their kitchen is the same as Flat Rock's kitchen. And he wanted to ask me about our kitchen here. And if you've ever been to Flat Rock's kitchen, you're blessed. They don't let people back there. It's a postage stamp. You're on top of each other. You get to know each other really well in that kitchen. The people that work in there, they know each other, and they got to have a tolerance for each other, because you're elbows into each other. You're just all over the place. So, well, what was it like going from there to there? I go, indescribable. When I walked back, because I didn't grow up getting to come to the conferences, you know, we just wasn't the family we had. And by that time I was working, and going back there was the first time I was actually able to step back there. And I went, what? These are blessings. Do you see them? You got up this morning. You had breakfast, I hope. Or at least you had the option to have breakfast, I hope. And not just that, but we've got places you could have stopped along the way to go get breakfast. Expensive, greasy options, but nonetheless, you had options. I got up early this morning to go get salt, and I was coming up here, and I was going to go home, and I was going to go pick up the family, and I get out of the car, and I'm like, okay, I got to take my medicine, I got to take food with it, so I got to grab something for breakfast. Man, I pop that refrigerator open, and I go, woo, stuff in there. Goodies. And you got cheese, you got all sorts of stuff. Are you happy for it? Are you happy for it? Because sometimes I think we got to go without to remember what it is to have. You got to have an empty fridge to appreciate one with some good blocks of cheese and eggs and got a couple links of sausage in there. Maybe, come on over, we'll have lunch. Yeah, I got some stuff in there. It's nice. And then you did what? After you had the option to have breakfast and I hope a warm shower, everything you need to make for a good day, what did you do? You went out into your parking lot or your driveway. Isn't it nice to have a driveway or a place to park your car? Whether you're renting or not, isn't it nice to have a place to park your car? Then you got in to a very sophisticated piece of machinery capable of going up to 90 miles an hour to drive here so you didn't have to walk out there in the snow. Isn't that nice? I packed my whole family in mine. Got 6 people. Get on in. And because I went to go get the salt, the heat was already on. Everybody happy. Everybody happy. And then what did you do? You came into a building that is warm. A building where the doors are right there. You come on in. By the way, we're replacing those doors this week. Isn't that nice? You count your blessings. Look at your clothes. Maybe not Armani. Maybe not Gucci or whatever it is, but it's nice. It's warm. It covers you up. Isn't that good? Many of you ladies, you got purses. What's in there? Don't tell me, but there's stuff in there, isn't it? Stuff you bought because you could. Isn't that nice? That's nice. That's God's blessings. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. You do not realize how happy you are. You don't realize how much the stuff you have is in value until you look at it. You gain so much when you appreciate the things that you have. Oh, I got too much stuff. Man, what a weird problem to have too much stuff. Isn't that a weird problem? You probably take that stuff, go give it to somebody who has no stuff. Isn't that a blessing too? Now you got blessed to have too much stuff. And you got the blessing to go and give some of that garbage to somebody else who doesn't have the stuff that you have. We have blessings all around us. Look at this church building. Sure, the pews aren't full. And you know what? I wish they were. Not uncomfortably so, but I wish they were full. But I'm grateful for you. I mean, think about it. Look at the people. Aren't you glad for the people? We lost anybody, we'd be sad. Well, of course you'd be sad. We'd have less tithers. No, that's not it. I'd miss you. I'd miss you. We ought to love each other that way. And if there's any issues, we need to clear them up. If there's any beef, we need to dispatch it. This is crazy. We ought to love what we have. We ought to count those blessings. Because what will it do? In remembering, it brings us hope. In remembering the things that God has done for me in the past, it helps me to see better the things He's doing for me now, because sometimes we don't remember what God is doing today. We don't see what God is doing today until it becomes a memory, right? Some of us were suffering. We don't pay attention. We're not counting our blessings. And God is just doling out to you blessings. And you don't see it because all you see are the problems. And then you look back and you go, oh, I guess maybe God was with me. That always bothered me, that poem, Footprints. Now, if you've got it, I'm not picking on you. I'm saying it's ungodly. But my mom had it hanging up, and I used to look at that, and it always puzzled me. Now, if you don't know the poem Footprints, in short, it's There are two footprints in the sand. You and the Lord, and you're walking together. And every now and then when things would get hard, there would only be one set of footprints. And the person turns to the Lord in this poem and says, why is it that whenever I was struggling, there was only ever one set of footprints? And the Lord turns to the person and says, well, those were the times where I carried you. And as a kid, in my mind, if you know my mind, I go, how do you not notice getting carried? And then I grew up and realized we do that all the time, don't we? We don't realize God's carrying us. You know, we had kind of a rough year. Maybe not as rough of a year as some of you, but we had kind of a rough year this year. And I looked, and I found where God had been carrying us. I found where God had taken care of things. I had found where God used many of you to come in and take care of things. I think I've got one more chicken and dumpling meal in there in the freezer, saving it for a special occasion. I do. Every time I open it up, I go, that's it. If we eat it, it's gone. I like the idea of having it. Just think about that. Just God's probably carrying you. God's carrying you right now. And do we see it? But when I look to the past and I see, Lord, this is all the ways that you were doing things. And a lot of times I didn't like what the men of God said that reminded me. Like I'd be doing something wrong. The man of God would say something either from the pulpit, or if you knew my pastor, he'd pull me into his office, he'd say it to my face. I don't like it. But then I look back and I say, well, see, Lord, you had to make me uncomfortable. You had to make me see I was wrong, and we hate seeing we're wrong, so this could happen. Because I was wrong, and I was doing damage to my life, and look, Lord, look what you've done for me. Because I know that the Lord has chastened me in the past, I have hope that he is doing it now. I can see that he's doing it now, and I have hope that he will do it in the future. Because he has provided for my physical needs in the past, I know he's doing it now. I can see it. I look at my electric bill, and I tell you what, if that electric bill ain't red, I'm happy. I might not be happy about the other numbers on there, but if you're looking at your electric bill and it ain't red, you praise the Lord. It is a hard time. This was the time of year we used to get phone calls all the time from DTE or something like that. Hey, so-and-so has, this unit has their electricity turned off due to non-payment. Do you want us to put it into your company's name? And so that we wouldn't have busted pipes and things like that, we would say yes. Now, we would charge that back to their account, but we would put it into our name. Why? To protect the building. And every time somebody would call, I'd feel terrible. Why? Because they're going through something. And sometimes, like I said, you got to go through something to realize just how nice it is when you're not going through something. Used to have this lady, she'd come in all the time, bag on her neighbors. Every time we'd have an eviction, she'd come in, and I knew those people were, and she'd have the most disgusting things to say about people who were moving out, or in many cases, the sheriff was putting them out. You know what I'm saying? You could tell when someone's being put out that way, down where we came from, because the sheriff would be on the curb. So people would see the sheriff out on the curb in our great big $1,400 a month apartments, 1,200 square feet apartments. You'd see the sheriff out there, and here she'd come in, blah, blah, blah. She lost her job. She got behind. She got another job, got caught up. I never saw her again when we had a move out like that. Because sometimes you got to go through it to realize how nice it is to not have to. We have it too good in our country. We have it too good. Food over every corner. We've got stuff beyond all belief. You could pick up your cell phone right now, get more stuff tomorrow. If you got Shipt Shopping or one of those Instacart things, you could have stuff this afternoon. Get our stuff. Food, goodies, whatever have you. As a country, we give money away. Give it to foreign countries. Give it to the people here who are starving and hungry. We got programs to help people who ain't got it. We've got people breaking into the country so they can get it. Never forget you're blessed. Never forget how blessed you are. Count your blessings. And when we do, we will have hope. You've taken care of me in the past, and I can see you taking care of me now, and I know who you are. You will continue to do so in the future. We have reason to hope. Why? Because he's God. And when we say he is God, we are giving we are giving credit to his power, to his might, and his wisdom. There's nothing that God cannot do. And he loves you. We can never forget that along with God's infinite power and wisdom, his love is infinite as well. And not just a random love, not just a open love, but a specific love for you. We must remember these things. Bella, if I can have you come up. Now this one is the sheet of paper you have. And this is the love of God. It's fun having you here. Of our text, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. O love of God, how rich and pure. I want you to consider for a second, go ahead and pick somebody in the room, and I want you to think about the way you think they're blessed. That's a weird way to do, that's a weird thing to do, but go ahead and do it. Just pick somebody. Don't pick me. Pick somebody else. I'm tired of getting picked on. Pick somebody else. Think about the blessings they have in their lives. All the way down to the minuscule ones. Isn't it sure good to see them today? Look at Sister Mary. It's good to see Sister Mary. Sister Ruth Ann's back. Pray for Brother Eugene. She gave it to him because sharing is caring. It's good to see them. They're breathing. Ah, nice. They look fed. They look warm. They look comfortable over there. I'm sure they're going through their things. We all have struggles and troubles and trials. Sure is good to see them. Look at, consider them. Now pick somebody else. Pick the person next to them. Pick someone close to them. And think the same. And then Let's go back to you for a second. That list you should be working on in your head. Not your grocery list, not the menu down there at the restaurant, but that list of blessings you're supposed to be working on. I want you to consider that. And then I want you to consider this verse again. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Think of how much it would take to write down a list of all the blessings of the people here in this room. I got a bottle of ink. I got two bottles of ink down there in my room, old fashioned style. We couldn't do it. Not in this room. And then if you know your history of the way that God has blessed His people from the Bible on, and the blessings and the love that He has shown people, people like you and me who don't deserve it, but He gives it to them again and again and again. And we see the necessity for so much paper and so much ink to write the love of God. And let's look according to this, this song, just a song, just a poet's idea of the love of God. Where every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. In your head, when you sing this song, here's what I want you to do for me. I want you to imagine you standing before a sky's worth of paper with all the ink we could produce, just writing the blessings that God has done in your life. And how much space it would take for each and every last one of us to write down all the good things God has brought into our world. The good things He's done for you. This is the image that must be in our mind. This thing that was said here in verse 23 of our text. They are new every morning. The blessings you have are new every morning. Well, what makes you say that? You woke up, didn't you? You woke up. I used to know people that would talk like that. How are you doing? Well, I'm on the right side of the dirt. Better here than the finest hospital in the land. Right? And even on your rough days, you can look at improvement. You can look at what's left and be glad. Man, I've been there on rough days. You ever try to count your blessings on a rough day? It'll change that day, by the way. But it's hard. But then you sit there, you say, well, at least it's not that. Well, the doctor said it could have been that, or if this would have fell the right way, I would have been in this kind of situation. Right? It's no good to sit there and worry about whether or not you're still going to have a job. But in the end, when you either get it, when you get to keep that job or you get another job offer, it sure is nice. You ever lose a bad job, but it was a job you needed, and the job you got next was way better? It's hard on the day you're fired or the day the place closes up to deal on that day, but it sure is nice when you realize that God was canceling one thing and moving you over to another, wasn't it? God's always blessing in different ways. Oh man, I knew a young man. Oh, he was in love with this girl. Oh, she was just the prettiest. Would not shut up about her. Would not. She dumped him. Oh, he was miserable. He was the kind of miserable where a bunch of us guys had to kind of, come here, man, why don't you come out with us tonight? We were a little afraid to leave him alone. Went on to marry a girl, my opinion, was perfect for him. I'm going to say she was 100 times better because that's not nice. Went on to have a wonderful life. Beautiful children. Oh, my friends, I'm telling you, we cannot lose the expanse of the love of God just because we've stumbled across some hard times. Whether it be a funeral, whether it be a firing, whether it be a fire. Let us not forget the depth and the fullness of God's love. And that these mercies, they are renewed every day. Listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit there and I want you to try to come up with a list of what God owes you. Go ahead, come up with a list of what God owes you. What does God owe you? Now, if you're like me, God doesn't owe me a thing. God doesn't owe me a thing. As a matter of fact, we don't even talk about it. Lord, whatever you want, absolutely. I know that I'm in the kind of debt to the Lord. I will never come out of it. Lord, you don't owe me a thing. So you take that and you add everything you have, and that is God's love on you today. And I want you to remember His mercies are new every morning. And we go back to the song, and we're writing. We're writing December 7th, December 8th, December 9th, December 10th. We're writing new things every day. Because we are taking what God owes you, we are looking at what we have, and that is God's measure of blessing on your life. That you have another day, another shot at it. That you have hope for change. And I'll tell you this, sometimes we get grumpy about what we have because we're not being good stewards of what we have. We are not being grateful for what we have. We don't realize it because our hearts and our minds are always looking to what we don't have. Oh, we need a shift. We need a change. The chorus, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure what? The saints and angels song. The angels are up there. What are they singing? Holy, holy, holy. The courts of heaven are shouting with praise. Here it's Sunday morning. All day today, churches across the world will be singing songs. When all of that is over, His love will still be here. You understand? When there are no more churches, when there's no world left for us to get together, when we are all passed on into glory, the love of God will endure. Well, that's just the song. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. He is my portion. He is my source. No, this person, they're a self-made man. They stepped up, they pulled themselves up by the bootstraps, they made gobs and gobs of money. Listen, I've known men and women who've become grand CEOs and really put the money in. And I've seen some of them fall apart. I saw a millionaire one time, one of our owners of the properties we used to work at. He came in, he was having issues with the city. He did something he wasn't supposed to do. A lot of us said, hey, listen, don't do that. It's going to come back and bite you. It came back and bit him. He was in my office eating all of the guest cookies and crying. I go, wait a minute. I go, you could probably fix this by the end of the week. And be no different than the end. That thing you're serving, it doesn't seem to be helping you. I love smart people. I need smart people. We got to give credit to smart people. But I've known some people who have the education, and they rub that education in your face. But when it comes time to using that education, it's nothing. You go to your doctor. Hey, doc, this is my problem. Doctor goes, all right, well, this is what we got to do about it. Gives you the medicine, gives you the treatment, whatever. A couple days later, you feel better. He used his knowledge to make you feel better. You call an engineer. Hey, engineer, we got this problem. Engineer sits down, pen and paper, draws it all out, says, here's the solution. Hey, I love educated people. What I don't love is people who just went through education and the only good that they have for it is to wave that. I've met people in the first five sentences, I knew where they went to school. I know where they were in their class when they graduated. I go, when I meet a new doctor, he doesn't even do that. He just assumes I'm sick and I assume he's smart. Or she. Just assume they're smart. But some people, that's what they're banking on. They're banking on their money. They're banking on their degree. How many different variations of things? Remember back when degrees used to be for you to have a job? Wasn't that nice? You could be a teacher. You could be, I discovered this. You know, there's not a lot you can do. Somebody was telling this joke. There's not a lot you can do with an Egyptologist degree, except either become an archaeologist, or teach Egyptology. So then you go and you teach Egyptology to other people who become Egyptologists, who also have the same problem, who either come back into the job, or they go out and they be archaeologists. Not a lot of archaeologists out there, but there's a lot of teachers of those things. Folks, it's a pyramid scheme. Some of you, that took too long. Some of you are still working on it. I'll let you. Because it's Egypt. I'm sorry. I'd look over at my wife on that one. Now, we put too much in that. Oh, having $1 billion is going to make me happy. Having all of this prestige and power and having people look up to me, that's going to make me happy. But if the Lord's your portion, you don't have to hope on those things. If the Lord is your portion, you'd be just as happy in a millionaire's mansion as you are in a shack. Why? Because the Lord's your portion and you're happy. If the Lord is your portion, you could have 17 degrees and a college named after you and be happy. You could be sitting there doing the lowliest, less education necessary job possible and be happy. I think I've done that job. Scrubbing floors at McDonald's. You ever scrub floors somewhere? Man, I scrub floors at a Taylor McDonald's. I'd be out there, it'd be 2 degrees. They'd still want me to scrub those little tiles when you first go in. The ones outside the door, I'd have to scrub those and then put salt on them. That was my job. Think about that for a second. Scrub those tiles and then put salt on them at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's how I started working for them. Newly married, just lost my big dog training job. Oh, man, thought I had it all together. And then I'm every now and then somebody would come by, they'd put a cigarette butt down on the thing while I was scrubbing. I got hit with the door more often than not, like I wasn't there. And again, I'm as big as I am now. He saw me. People sit there, dump their coffee out on the tile. Why? Because you're nobody. But the Lord's your portion. And I'm just here for a check, and I'm glad for it. Thank you, Lord. I'll do this twice. I don't care. It's your money. It's always my opinion. I told my boss one time, that I go, listen, I go, you have me for 8 hours. You have my best intentions. You have my best strength. You have my best effort for 8 hours. So whatever it is you want to waste time on, I will waste time on. They wanted me to do something redundant. Like, Matt, you're the only one who doesn't think this is stupid. I go, no, I think it's stupid, but you pay me well enough to keep my mouth shut. It's not my job to tell you how to do your business. You want me to be a manager? Maybe then. But right now, I scrub at a floor, and I'm going to scrub the floor. If the Lord's your portion, it doesn't matter. The Lord's your portion, it doesn't matter. Lord, you're how I get money. Lord, you're how I get food. Lord, you're how I have strength in my bones. Lord, you're my health. Lord, you're everything. And I tell you what, when we go to the Lord for everything we need, and we thank the Lord for everything we get that we need, our lives are going to change. And one of the biggest things that are going to change is this bad boy right here, your mind. Your brain's going to change. People say this time of the year is some of the hardest time for depression. And we blame the sun, and sure, there's a component to it. But you know what I think it is? I think we've got the wrong kind of mindset. We got Christmas decorations, but most folks have no inclination towards Christ. If I was staring at art I did not understand, I'd be miserable too. Think about that. You go down to the Flint Institute of Arts, you go into the modern section. Now, you be careful down there. They got this one statue that looks like a person that keep moving on you. Trying to make me think I'm crazy. Just be careful. But you go down to the more modern sections and you look at it. And if I told you that you had to look at that for months at a time without you understanding what they meant by it, you'd be bored and miserable. With all these Christmas decorations, but no inclination towards Christ. Of course we're having a hard time. We're doing all this shopping for things to give people things that does nothing to help them. At least not in areas that make sense. I mean, you give someone a coat, at least they'll be warm. You give whatever, it's nice to give gifts. I'm not trying to knock it. But we go through the motions of what? Focusing on what we need to get people, what we need to get. People are asking us, well, what do you want? And we're thinking about all these things that we don't have instead of thinking about what we do have. And all of a sudden, what? Seeing family becomes stressful. Why? Because the turkey's got to be perfect. Why? Because a relative who died 10 years ago would say something mean if the turkey isn't perfect. My grandfather passed away back when I was 7 years old. And all the way up to where my grandma stopped doing Christmas, she made a ham. Why? Because grandpa would start a fight if there wasn't a ham at the table. And she'd always be stressed out about the way the ham came out, even though he wasn't there to eat it. Ask yourself the question, where's your hope? Where's your hope? If your hope is found in tinsel and string, if your hope is found in shiny paper, if your hope is found in getting to all of the relatives at the right time, having the perfect travel plan, if that is your hope, you are a person who will be most disappointed. But if I could sit there and say, well, look at this, isn't this wonderful? I mean, think about this. You don't sit there in July eating cookies like they're salad. At least I hope not. You just look at it. I make it look good. Don't come this way. All right. I make it look easy. It's not. You get cookies all over the place. We got sweet stuff all over the place. Not a one of us are fighting for food with this many sugary weirdness all over the world. None of us are suffering. So where's your hope? Your hope cannot be in the things that never come. Your hope cannot be in hopes of things that you will get. You must look at the things that you have and have hope in the one that gives them to you. And everything becomes a gift. Everything becomes a gift. We've got a friend. We've had a few friends who had babies. Babies who didn't want to sleep through the night. Do you remember that? That was hard our first couple times. Now I don't think it bothers us much. I think we've learned to not have to sleep if we don't have to. We even had a plan of what we were going to do to where I would stay up late. Right? Was it me? I would stay up late with the baby. And if the baby got up, I would take care of it. And then I would go to bed and sleep, and she would get up. And sometimes that'd be a little bit reversed depending on the kid. We had it down to a science. So when our friends called us and said, man, our baby won't sleep. Is this normal? Is this okay? We kind of chuckle. Maybe it's not pleasant. But now we kind of miss it. At least I do. Well, she doesn't. I do. Sorry. I miss little babies. I do. And that happens all too quickly, doesn't it? 1 minute you're sitting there trying to wrestle them into a little snuggled thing at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then the next day they're taking driving classes. So they were talking about Xander driving. Cashman goes, well, Xander's going to learn how to drive, and I sat there, I did the math. Like, well, he has to wait till he's 15 to learn how to drive, or 16 to learn how to drive. I go, well, technically they start teaching you when you're 14 is when we'll probably start teaching you stuff. And then I started doing math in my head, and I almost pulled over. Be grateful. Be grateful. We must look at what we have and thank the God that gave it to us. Because even if you think by your good reason, logic, and strength of will and body, you can accomplish things on your own, I have seen more than capable people lose the legs out from underneath them and lose it all. We cannot hope in these things to fix our minds. We cannot hope in these things that we don't have to make us happy. Instead, we be glad for the things that we have. O love of God, how rich and pure. Bell, if I can get you one more time. Hymn number 25. We'll stand one last time. You'll have to help me with this one. The Wonder of It All. Hymn number 25. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Looking at the verse prior, verse 25 again, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. When we look to God, when we are grateful for what he has done in our lives, when we have tuned our eyes and our mind to meditate on the blessings we receive every day, it will be wondrous in our sight. Be wondrous. Well, I didn't mean to cut out that second verse. It's just, you know how I go on telling too many stories. But talking about the wonder of God's creation, the beauty of it. And we wonder, oh, how wondrous is God's love, his renewal to us day in and day out, his love to us regardless of our failings. Somebody tried to make the point, it was an atheist debating with a Christian, trying to make the point, how could God possibly love you if he's willing to send you to hell if you don't love him back? And I go, that's never been the terms. It has never been, if you don't love me, I'll send you to hell. It has been this: I told you not to do something or you'd go to hell, and we did it anyway. And he put all the effort into this relationship long before you and I were born. Creating the tribes, sustaining them, creating a bloodline to put his son into, blessing that bloodline, preserving that bloodline, chastening that bloodline, putting his child into earth, his only begotten son, at a time when the world was the most connected, so that His ministry, His work, the teachings of Him, the gospel, could be spread abroad for you. That's wondrous to me. You know what? If it was a matter of, well, if you love me, you can come with me. If you don't love me, you can go to the other place. Even that would make sense to me. Listen, you like me, come over to my house. You don't like me, you can go for a walk. That'd be us, wouldn't it? Somebody comes over to your house and they got nasty things to say to you, you can go out in the cold now. I don't need... But that's not even the way it is. It's this. We've blasphemed. We've insulted. We've neglected. We've forgotten. We've disobeyed. We've done everything considered offensive to another human being, to God. And yet we still sit there and we wonder, oh, well, how could God allow this to happen? We're doing it. And we're slapping Him in the face while we're just slapping Him in the face while we do it. How wondrous the love of God is. It is not if you don't love. No. While before you could love Him, and while you hated Him, while you were at enmity with Him, the Bible said, He did all this out of love for you. And the only way to go there is to continue to reject Him. Verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, those that listen, those that obey, those that are patient. He is good to them. To the soul that seeketh Him. Lord, what would you have me to do with your stuff? Right? That's a true mark of a Christian. Right? Those clothes, you need to treat them like they're the Lord's clothes because they're the ones who He's the one who gave them to you. That house you go back to, that apartment you go back to tonight, that's the Lord's because He gave it to you. That job you have, if you're still working, don't treat it like it's your job. Don't treat it like it's the boss's job. You treat it like it's the Lord's job. That's the Lord's. So we're grateful for it. And we do all we can for His honor and glory. We seek Him in the things we have. We seek Him in the things we do. And when we seek Him, we find His goodness. Again, it is only godliness with contentment where the things we have become gain to us again. Verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. There's the wonder of God's revelation, the Word who dwelt amongst men. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is that Jesus is coming again. That Jesus is coming again. I want you to look at the way churches have been functioning. I want you to look at the problems that we've had that have been ours because man put them there. I want you to look at the abuses that have taken place because a lot of people, they don't realize that, but there are churches out there with good names that shouldn't have good names. That have done things and they've hidden them and they've not been great about it and they've committed atrocities. Some, and it doesn't matter what name is on the sign. If you're not honoring God in every facet, really you got to ask yourself, would I come back for me? If God preserved His churches, if God preserved His doctrine, if God preserved everything, and He's going to preserve it to the day His Son comes down to call us back home, if that is truly what we believe, and we look at the things that we've done, do we really believe we deserve to get picked up? That's a wonder to me. Lord, maybe I haven't worked hard enough for you to come and pick me up. Lord, maybe I haven't been the best representative of you I needed to be for you to come pick me up. But like the good God He is, He's coming anyway. Because He makes some conditional promises, but His love is not conditional. His will is not conditional. If He says He's coming, He's coming. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. We don't have to. He'll be here. We're kind of like kids, aren't we? When we think too hard about when, we're kind of like kids. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I keep having to say this in my car. Guys, when we get there, Dad's not going to keep driving. you'll know we're there because I'm getting out of the car. Okay? Are we at the church yet? Do you see the church? No. When we're not there. Well, is it coming back now? Is it 5 minutes from now? Maybe it's 10 years from now? Hey, listen, I did some math, and by best guesses, it's going to be in this year. When your feet are off the ground, when you're standing in the presence of Christ, it's probably going to be around then. That's how you're going to know. And he'll announce it too. You're going to get a trumpet. Well, how much warning am I going to have? You ain't packing bags. Don't worry about it. It's already up there. You ain't got to. Don't need no rubber duck. Don't need your lucky toothbrush. You're fine. It's a wonder. When we count the blessings, when we give the glory and honor back to God and we remember them through our hard times, through the good times, because I'll tell you what, it can be hard to remember God during the hard times. I think it's even harder to remember God during the good. Because you think you're fine. I think we get a lot closer to God during the hard times. That's what the hard times are designed for. I wish we had the same memory in the hard times that we do during the good times. Because I think people forget God more when there ain't no problems. We must remember God. We must give him honor and glory for the gifts that he gives. Oh, and then we see the wonder. Then we have hope. We have so much. Let us not ever lose heart. And let's never stop worshiping him for the everyday gifts he gives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, your love, your constant blessing, Lord, the gifts that you give us. Lord, help us to never be blind to them. Help us, Father, to never forget. It's too easy in this world of getting and getting and consuming to forget all the things that you've given us. It's easy for us to get our eyes off of your blessings and, Father, instead think of the things that we don't have, that we need, what our problems are. Oh, but Lord, how often are the solutions to our problems sitting right there in the things you've already given us? We've just failed to pull them out. Lord, we have your word. We have your promise of strength, comfort, and wisdom. Lord, we have all things we need to get through this world. Lord, I pray that we not be so ungrateful we don't even consider them nor touch them. But Father, instead, help us to reach into your word, reach into your way, and Lord, be glad and grateful for the things you've given us. Help us, Lord, never to forget how much you give to us, and Lord, how badly we need you. For its name of Jesus we pray, amen.